Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. In his message titled, Good News, Reverend Derek Longbreak tells us that when a child is born, we are happy for a new life and the possibility that the child will make a difference in the future. Understanding how the world was before the birth of Christ makes the birth great news and provides us with hope for the future. Let us now join Reverend Longbreak as he explains God's Word.
You may be seated, and different than maybe normal, instead of a prayer of confession and assurance of pardon, we're going to have a litany for Christmas. So please join in saying, Lord, have mercy, as indicated in the bulletin. O Christ, splendor of God's eternal glory, the mighty Word, sustaining the universe, renew our lives by your presence. Lord, have mercy. O Christ, born into the world in the fullness of time for the liberation of all creation, release all into your promised freedom. Lord, have mercy. O Christ, begotten of the Father before all time, born in a stable at Bethlehem, may your church be a sign of hope and joy. Lord, have mercy. O Christ, truly God and truly human, born to a people in fulfillment of their expectations, fulfill our desires in you. Lord, have mercy. O Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, child of wonder and splendor, mighty God of all ages, Prince of Peace, may the whole world live in peace and justice. Lord, have mercy. God, the coming of your light into our world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Teach us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our next scripture is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and it comes after the wise men have approached and have offered their gifts and interacted with Herod. So we're picking up after the wise men have left. I'll start in chapter 2, verse 13. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken of the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. So there are times when we get great news. Maybe the great news has been a clean bill of health from the doctor. Maybe that great news has been a good grade on a test, a good review in work. Maybe the great news has been our favorite team winning an important game. Maybe the good news is a child being born. Now, all those things aren't at the same level, but they all can be great news. So what is it that makes something great news? Well, part of it is because we know what came before. We know how this news is connected with our past. Like when we get a clean bill of health, we knew the cancer that was there before. We knew the heart issues that run in our family. We know the bone that was broken is now healed. That clean bill of health can be just good news, but when we know what came before, it becomes great news. It's the same thing with getting a good grade or getting a good review. Maybe we know how much trouble we had been having at work, or we knew how much trouble we were having understanding a particular subject in school. Maybe we haven't often gotten good reviews or good grades before, or maybe we know how we have been rewarded for doing well in the past. All of that helps us understand that as great news. When we think of our favorite team winning a big game, we remember all of the bad feelings we had when they had lost. Maybe we remembered the excitement we felt when we knew that there was going to be another big game because they had just won that game. When a child's born, we think about there's life now where there was none before. When a child's born, we may recall our own children's birth, our grandchildren's birth, and we remember all of the positive things that followed. These things are great news, not just because they talk to our past, but because they also give us hope for the future. We hope for continuing good health. We hope that we'll do well on the next test or on the next review. We hope that our team can even win a championship. We hope that this new child can bring joy and make the world a better place. So great news connects with our past. It gives us joy in the present, and it also provides hope for the future. Well, when we get great news, there can be threats to that great news. There can be reasons that we decide that that news shouldn't be celebrated, or that we shouldn't let that news give us hope. We have fears, maybe of reoccurrence of sickness. We are afraid we'll get bad grades. We're afraid that our team will lose. We're afraid that that child who's been born will struggle. We can get discouraged. Even after having this great news, we can try to diminish it to keep ourselves safe. But that's where faith comes in. Our belief is that God is at work. Our belief is that God is at work bringing hope and sustaining our hope so that this can be great news. Well, obviously, in the Christmas season, the great news is that Jesus Christ, a Savior, is born. And as Alicia read in Hebrews, This is how the great news is presented. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, sort of looking back to the past. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. This is talking about the future and the hope. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. And when he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, these words don't come out of nowhere. For us to understand this as great news, and not just a bunch of religious ramblings, we have to know how it connects with what came before and how it speaks to future hopes, our future hopes. And what's ironic is oftentimes this understanding comes when there's a threat to that good news, when we're not sure it's good news. Well, in Matthew chapter 2, there are a number of threats to this great news that a new king, that a savior for people's sins has been born. Well, first is this a threat of personal attack. The current king, Herod, wants to destroy the child. Now, this is going back a few years, but you may have seen the movie Terminator 2, and if not, I'll try to set it up a little bit. But basically, a robot from the future comes back to the past to try to kill a boy named John Connor. John Connor was going to be the one in the future who would lead the remnants of the human race in their fight against the robots. So this Terminator robot is threatening to change the future, to take away hope. In his attacks on the boy, the robot reveals how important the boy is. In the same way, Herod, in his desire to kill Jesus, reveals how important Jesus is. He reveals how important Jesus is to our future hopes. Well, in response to this threat to the news, to the greatness of this news, we see God at work. We see him sending an angel to Joseph so he will flee with his family to Egypt to escape Herod. And if that's not enough showing how great this news is, we can also connect that dream and that message to Joseph with what came before to see the depths of the great news. Do you remember the first Joseph back in Genesis? Well, he was going to Egypt, even though his brothers wanted to kill him. And through this Joseph, the first Joseph going to Egypt, that ended up saving his family from famine. And Joseph's family ended up coming to safety in Egypt, where they developed into a nation, into the people of Israel. To add even another level of greatness to this news was when this threat was passed, the child would fulfill then what had been spoken of by the prophets. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. We're supposed to be the whole time being pointed back to what God has done, not just bringing Joseph to Egypt so that the people of Israel could be created, but then how God helped the people of Israel come out of slavery in Egypt, delivering that new nation that has received life as God's chosen people. By understanding what comes before, we know how God has been at work, not just then, but with us, developing a new people, though things threaten to destroy our hope. A child has been born, Jesus, the deliverer, who will bring us out of slavery to sin into life as God's people. Well, the next threat that happens. The next threat to this great news that there's this child born to bring salvation is a threat of senseless violence. There's this act of senseless violence, the death of children. Well, a few years ago, a man dressed in a Santa suit and killed 9 people at his ex-wife's parents' Christmas party, and then he burned the house down. In his rage and grief at a marriage dissolving, this man's actions went beyond a personal attack to senseless slaughter. It's events like this, events like Herod not being content with killing one baby, but needing then to kill all of the children under 2 years old. It's events like this that reveal the depth of sin. It actually reveals our need for forgiveness. It reveals the need for peace, which Jesus can bring. So when Herod does this senseless act of violence in killing all of the 2-year-olds, everyone under 2, in and around Bethlehem, God actually reveals in the midst of this, there's hope for a different way to handle anger and sorrow. Because as we read this, we're supposed to remember back again to the book of Genesis, to when Pharaoh in Egypt killed all the baby boys, hoping to kill Moses so nothing would threaten his rule. And if you remember, Moses was the one used by God to bring his people to the promised land. We're meant to see how Jesus is the one who, even in the midst of threats, even in the midst of senseless acts of violence, can bring us to a place of peace. Well, there's even more in this threat that points to the good news of Jesus. Again, we are told the words of a prophet from the past. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. This is, again, trying to help us to understand the history of how God has been at work even in the midst of sadness and anger and hurt and pain. Ramah was the place where the people of Israel were gathered to be marched into exile in Babylon. So to really understand the great news of Jesus' birth, we need to see how God works through disaster to bring blessing. How there is always hope. Because even though Jeremiah recalls the weeping, in the very verses that follow in Jeremiah, it says, don't cry. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back. Jeremiah then speaks of the days when there will be a new covenant that will be made between Israel and God, where God will put his law within them and write it on their hearts, and they shall know God from the least to the greatest, for he will forgive them and remember their sins no more. By understanding what comes before, we know that even though there's pain and sadness, even when there's senseless violence, God does not leave us without hope. This child Jesus is great news for us. He brings us a hope of a new covenant, hope of forgiveness of sins, even when there seems to be no place to go, even when there seems no way out of sorrow, even when we don't understand the violence in our world. Well, the third threat to the great news in this scripture is the threat of call of being nothing, of not mattering. Well, Jesus, even though Herod dies, and Joseph's told it's safe to come back. We find out there's continued danger to his life. And this leads him to be raised in the small town of Nazareth. Now, the threat here is that going to Nazareth, that's in the middle of nowhere. He would be forgotten, or at least he wouldn't be recognized or accepted as one who mattered. There are always threats like that, threats of being forgotten, of coming to nothing. There was a man named Boutros Ghali. He was the only Christian prime minister of predominantly Muslim Egypt, and he was assassinated in 1910. And the threat was that Christian leadership and politics in Egypt would be forgotten. But the family didn't intend for anyone to forget him. And so they adopted his name, Boutros, or Peter, and they actually gave his grandchild the name Boutros, so he was Boutros Boutros. And the family then built a church in Cairo to honor him as well. And on his tomb were the words, "God is witness that I serve my country to the best of my ability." Well, his grandchild, Boutros Boutros, became Boutros Boutros Ghali, the first African Secretary General of the United Nations. Even when there's the threat of being forgotten, the great news of Jesus being known can be emphasized. Because we think, how can a savior come from an out-of-the-way place that's on the margins of society? This threat, actually, though, points us again to the fulfillment of prophecy, to how God is at work. The threat points us to how the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. It also connects us with the ways that God uses the least and the unlikely to serve him. We're reminded when we feel like we're nothing, like we don't matter, that God has brought Jesus to bring light, to help us be known, to help what we do make a difference. By understanding what comes before, we know people are being forgotten. They are being written off. We might be despised. We might be rejected. And we will face the struggle for meaning. But we have hope that who God's people are will be determined by Jesus, not by our prominence, not by where we are from, not by doing the right things, not by whether the most important person in our congregation dies, but by Jesus, a child who brings hope. So there's these threats to the news of Jesus' birth, but those threats only increase our understanding of how great the news is, because they help us recall all the decisive moments in the history of Israel. Remembering the background of God's interaction with the people of Israel helps us to recognize the good news of who Jesus is as great news. God's action for peace and new life often invokes hostile responses, personal attacks, senseless violence, and forgetting and marginalizing God are these threats. But in those threats, we actually see the need we have for Jesus. We see the need we have for new life. We see the need that we have for forgiveness. We see the need we have to trust God to lead us forward. So the news of Jesus is great news for us. And as we look back, we can see that God's plan is not deterred by any threat, and that those threats only make clearer our need for Jesus. We see time and time again how he brought forgiveness, hope, and new life. As you look back on this past year and on your life, do you see the presence of God? Do you see God at work? Maybe even if you don't, I want you to know that God is at work in your life. Jesus is at work bringing you salvation, even in the midst of your distress. So let us together embrace the good news, no, the great news, and live in hope. Let us pray. You know us. You know each of us. God, you know how we've been attacked, how we've felt threatened. You know the questions we have that we can't make sense of. You know where we struggle to find meaning in our lives. You really know us. And we thank you that you know us. And we thank you that you don't leave us where we are. We thank you for sending Jesus into our lives. Lord, show us right now how we can have hope in whatever place that we need it. Renew our hope as we enter into a new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Now may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.